Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to talk about living under an open heaven. Living under an open heaven. And for these next 21 days, our theme for the time of prayer and fasting is living under an open heaven. And when you came in this morning, you received a prayer guide. I'd like you to take it out for just a moment. This prayer guide on the front, it talks about living under an open heaven. These are some things to kind of help you pray. We're going to be going more in depth on this morning. But this is what it means to live under an open heaven. And I pray that you'll be praying this year, because living under an open heaven really means what we heard, the message in tongues and the interpretation, about taking up God's challenge to preach the gospel, to take the gospel to all people. If you open up this prayer guide, on the inside on the left, you'll find some daily prayer focuses that you can pray for each day over the next few weeks during our prayer and fasting time. On the right side is some specific prayer needs for Radius Church, some things that we would like you to agree in a prayer for us. And then on the back, it says the power of prayer and fasting. I realize that for many of you, maybe prayer and fasting is a little bit foreign to you. You don't know how to fast. I know growing up, I never heard a single message about fasting. Going to Bible college, there was very little training and instruction on how to fast. What I've learned is been self-study, and so this just kind of gives you some tips, some cautions, how to pray, how to fast. Make sure you pray during the fast, otherwise you're just going on a diet, which after Christmas is probably a good thing, but we don't want to just go on a diet. We want to connect with God. What is fasting? In your notes this morning on your worship program on the back side, we give you a definition so that you're aware. It's a deliberate, intentional abstinence from physical gratification to achieve a greater spiritual goal. It's intentional. We abstain from physical things. It may be food. That is the most common one you read about in the Bible. But we can also abstain from media. That's mentioned on the back of your prayer and fasting, living under heaven prayer guide. And there's different ways. If you're a married couple, you can choose to abstain from physical intimacy for a period of time and then come back together, as Paul said. But there's different ways to fast. But what we're deciding to do when we fast is, I want to sacrifice something in the physical so I can gain something in the spiritual. I'm renouncing the natural so I can receive the supernatural. I'm saying no to myself so I can hear yes from God. Fasting is not about seeking God for the answer I want. It's seeking God for God himself and for the answers that he wants. I don't fast so that I can please me. I'm fasting to please the Lord. In a sense, fasting gets God's attention. We're saying, God, I am so serious about these things that I want to pray and fast for, and I encourage you over the next 3 weeks to pick out at least one prayer focus for yourself, for your family. Maybe it's an unsaved loved one. Maybe it's something you want God to do in your life. Maybe it's something you want God to do in our church, in our community. But pick out at least one thing, and when we fast, we're saying, God, I am prioritizing prayer. The physical activity, the thing that I would do normally now, I'm setting it aside, and I am devoting myself to seeking you to accomplish that. And when you read throughout the Bible, so many times when people prayed and fasted, they experienced a breakthrough. We sang about a breakthrough this morning. Many times breakthroughs accompany prayer and fasting. I think most of us would say that 2020 was a difficult year. How many would agree with that? Difficult year. You know what? We're in great shape then. Because so many times when you read the Bible, when there was a difficult time, God's people experienced an open heaven. They experienced a breakthrough where God did something powerful. When Israel were slaves in Egypt, God did the miraculous exodus out of that difficult time. When Israel was going to take the promised land, there were several nations, city-states, that had strong walls, massive armies, and God used that. They had to fight the war, but in the midst of that difficult time, they received the promised land as they received victory. You take a look at the early church, the church of Acts. It was an intense time of persecution. Jesus was crucified. Peter and John were arrested, whipped, and thrown in jail and told, don't preach about this Jesus anymore. James was beheaded. Stephen was stoned. And even though there was a difficult time, the church in Acts exploded. It grew. Friends, difficult times do not detour God's power. God's supernatural intervention is not limited by the trials and the tribulations and the problems of life. In fact, those times are primary times for us to see a breakthrough. And I believe, and in your notes this morning, I'm giving us a challenge. In 2021, I challenge us to live under an open heaven. You say, Craig, what is an open heaven? We list it for you there. An open heaven is when the wall of separation between heaven and earth is parted. Heaven comes down to earth, and we experience not just God's omnipresence, but His manifest presence. Jesus did that. Jesus experienced the manifest presence of God, and now we, the body of Christ, that's our role, is to bring the manifest presence of God to this earth. God is everywhere at all times. There's no place that you can go and get away from God. So God is always present. That's what omnipresent means. Omni means all present. He's present. He's always present. We read about that in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. It says, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? No, there's not. Now, God is everywhere, but there are times when God supernaturally intervenes in the natural realm. How many of you ever experienced something like that? There is a healing. There was divine direction. There was protection. For those of us who are watching online this morning, we want to welcome you. Thanks for making us part of your new year. If you've experienced God do something supernatural, He's intervened, just go ahead and type it in the comments. Maybe, you know, He healed me from cancer. He filled a cavity. He provided money out of the blue. There was money that just came in the post office box. I know a young pastor, he was going to have to quit Bible college because he didn't have any money. And his bill was due at the end of the day. The mailman had already come, but he felt he should go out to the post office box. He goes out there, and there is an envelope with the exact amount of money that he needed to pay his bill so that he could continue training. If you've experienced God's miraculous provision, just post something what God has done. And God wants to break through in our lives. He wants to open heaven. Now the question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to take a look this morning at four principles of living under an open heaven. Four things that we need to do. The first one is found in Mark 21, and it's going to talk about Jesus and how He begins ministry. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus is 30 years old. We know very little about the life of Jesus. We know a little bit about His birth in the early years, and we've kind of talked about the past couple of weeks here at Christmas, and we're pretty familiar with that. Then we have nothing until He's 12 years old, and we just get a snapshot of Him in the temple doing His Father's will. His parents couldn't find Him. We see that little snippet. And then there's absolutely nothing until Jesus is 30. And this is when Jesus is going to start His ministry. Now, it starts with an open heaven moment. And even though Jesus' ministry was only 3.5 years long, those 3.5 years, people are still talking about them today. You see, an open heaven It might be a brief encounter with God, but it is life-changing. It is history-altering. Sometimes for individuals, sometimes for families, sometimes for cities, sometimes for nations, but now more than ever in 2021, friends, America, Wyoming, Casper, the world needs the church, you and I, to live under an open heaven. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, what is the very first principle in your notes today? An open heaven starts with what we see. An open heaven starts with what we see. We need a spiritual vision, a revelation. Have you ever struggled with, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What does God want me to do? Does my life matter? What's my purpose? Have you ever struggled with, man, I don't feel like I'm good enough to do anything for God. I really don't feel like, you know, I'm that significant, I'm that special. I can't really do anything for God. How many have ever felt in any one of those ways? Just raise your hand this morning. Many of you have. Many of you responded to that. If that is you, then this point is really for you, because we need to see what God wants to reveal to us. There's two areas that we need to see this. Letter A in your notes is a revelation of who God is and who we are. We need a revelation of who God is and who we are. And this happens in Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 9. It says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness." Jesus, in this open heaven moment, the heavens part, and God says to him, "You are my Son." Jesus hears he is God's Son, God is his Father, and he's not just any son, but he is his Son in whom he is well pleased. Now, I believe that Jesus knew that before this. This was not a new revelation of Jesus, but it was just a repeat of something that Jesus had already known. And I believe this is something we need repeated in our life. Who is God? We need to keep remembering who God is, because so many times when we hit a difficult time like we did in 2020, it's easy to forget who God is, that he is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He is with us. He's Emmanuel. That he is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. We forget who God is. We forget how he feels about us. We feel like, God, do you really love me? Do you care about me? If you did, why are you allowing this to happen? We need that refreshed revelation of who God is and who we are. And what I find so interesting is that right after this, we read how Jesus goes into the wilderness, and for 40 days, Jesus fasts. He does not eat or drink anything. I don't recommend that. That's a really supernatural fast, something the Son of God pulled off. You want to at least drink water, okay? But Jesus pulled it off. But here's the thing. When you read that, the devil attacks the identity of Jesus on two-thirds of the occasions. He says, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you're really the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple and the angels will protect you. If you're really the Son of God. Even though Jesus knew he was the Son of God, I find it interesting how the Father just said, you're my Son and I'm well pleased in you. Jesus has this repeated revelation of who he is and who God is, and we need that revelation in our lives. We are the apple of God's eye. He loves us so much. Romans says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are complete in him. Through our God, we shall do valiantly. God causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. That's a great place to say hallelujah, not just in the song. We need a revelation of who we are in Christ. Well, a Bible verse that my wife has been praying for both of us is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. She just shared this with me a few weeks ago, and I've fallen in love with this verse. Listen to it. I want you to begin to pray this maybe for you and your family. It says, and God is able to bless you meagerly. Is that what it says? No, abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, 2020 and 2021, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that something great to pray for you and your family? You're blessed abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you're going to abound in every good work. Friends, Christ has made us capable, but the devil wants us to feel defeated, that we are incapable. We need to get a fresh revelation of God and us. We need that repeated revelation if we're going to live under an open heaven and see God supernaturally intervene in this year. We go on, letter B in your notes. We not only need a revelation of who God is and who we are, we need a revelation of the work and the plan God has for us. We need a revelation of the work and the plan that God has for us. Jesus, when he was baptized, saw the Spirit come upon him, and then he was driven into the wilderness. And just a sidebar here, who drove Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit. It wasn't the devil, and it didn't just happen by chance that he fell into it. The wilderness is a dry place, an empty place, a barren place, and yet it was the Spirit that took Jesus there. It solidified his identity even more because he knew he was a son of God, and God brought him through. And we need to realize that as we're praying about living under an open heaven, that doesn't mean that it's always going to be a bed of roses. That it's like, man, I'm walking in victory and everything's great and I have no problems. Jesus has this open heaven and he goes to the wilderness. And so if you find yourself in the wilderness, it doesn't mean you're not walking near to God anymore. Living under an open heaven means I have this communion with the Holy Spirit because it says the Spirit remained on him. I have this communion with the Spirit, and we'll get into that in just a moment, what that means. But Jesus has this revelation of the work that God has for him. When you look at the third temptation that Jesus faced from the devil said, actually he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he says, Jesus, if you just bow down and worship me, I'm going to give this all to you right now. You can have this. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus someday is going to rule all the kingdoms of the world. But that was not at his first coming. That comes at his second coming. Jesus is coming again. Do you realize that? Jesus is coming again. Sometimes we forget that. Look to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming. Say, are you ready? Oh, yeah. The first time Jesus came, he came as a suffering servant to die on the cross for our sins, not to rule the world. When he comes a second time, he's going to come in power, in glory, and majesty as the King, the Messiah, and he will rule the world. But Satan is trying to get Jesus to short-circuit God's plan, to take a shortcut, and Jesus knew, hey, that isn't now. God's plan for me is the future. This is not the right time. Jesus had a revelation, and Satan was attacking that work that God had for Jesus to do. What's also interesting is when you go to Luke chapter 4, and when you read Luke chapter 3, it talks about Jesus being baptized, the Spirit coming down. All the Gospels record this open heaven moment when the heavens open and the Spirit comes down. Jesus saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him. And then in Luke 4, right after he comes out of the wilderness, this is what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's given the scroll from Isaiah. He opens it up, and he reads, what is Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What just happened to him about 40 days earlier when he was baptized? He saw the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. He had a revelation of what God was doing, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Verse 21, he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit has anointed me. God's revealed that this prophecy is going to take place right now. This is the work God has for me to do. And the question for us today is, do you know what work God has for you to do? Do you know your place in the kingdom? And I'm not saying that all of us are supposed to quit our jobs and go be missionaries in Africa or become pastors, okay? No, there's many different, we can serve God in the marketplace. You can serve God as a clerk, as a doctor, a lawyer, as a mechanic. But do you know what God's calling is? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know what passions God has given you and how you can use those to impact people with the gospel? You've got a passion for working out. Last week, Pastor Zach was sharing how he and Pastor Daniel, they're using their passion. I think it's more Pastor Daniel's passion than Pastor Zach's. You heard that. But they're using that passion to take the gospel where they're at. They just don't go to the gym, oh, we're going to get buff and tough and look good and then get on their way. No, they're using that part of their life to communicate the gospel, to bring heaven to people who don't know heaven, who don't know there's a God in heaven who loves them. And God wants you and I to have this idea, this plan of who we are. He wants to take your talents, your gifts, your skills, your abilities. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Some of us don't know how God has designed us. We don't see ourselves as a masterpiece. You need to come to Destiny, because in Destiny 3, we talk about how God has designed you for significance, and we need a revelation of who we are and the work that God has for us. So, this first requirement, this first principle of living under an open heaven is it begins with what we see. We need a spiritual vision. And I just want to encourage you, maybe as you're praying and fasting for the next 21 days, and maybe you haven't even decided what you're going to pray and fast about, I want you to get alone with God. I want you this afternoon and say, God, am I going to do a Daniel fast, just eating fruits and vegetables? Maybe it's Daniel and dairy and eggs or something like that. Or maybe I'm going to fast lunch every day. Figure out what kind of fast you're going to do for the next 21 days, and you can mix it up. I'm mixing it up because I've got some special events going on. It's my wife's birthday, and I don't fast on her birthday, okay? She doesn't want to fast on her birthday. But now if God said, Craig, fast on Rebecca's birthday, then I would do that. But he hasn't said that. So I've got a plan for my fast, and I've got three things that I am fasting for specifically, besides the stuff in the prayer guide, three things personally I want to see God do. And part of it is I'm saying, God, just give me a new vision for myself and for our church this year. God, this has been, 2020 was kind of just a shifting, a shaking. So God, as we're in a new season, show me the new things you want to do. And that's what I'm praying for. I encourage you to pray for a vision for your life. All right, let's go to the second thing this morning. You say, boy, we're going to be here a while, and maybe this will be a two-part message. We'll see, okay? But the second thing that you and I need, we need to embrace if we're going to be people that live under an open heaven, is an open heaven requires concerted, consistent prayer. An open heaven requires concerted, consistent prayer. Luke chapter 5 takes place right after Luke chapter 4 when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what happens in chapter 5, verse 17. On a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee. Judah and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Friends, that is an open heaven moment. People are sick, but the power of the Lord is present to heal the people that are there. Now, why is the power of the Lord there? I believe when you look back at verse 16, that gives us the key. Verse 16, Luke 5, 16, so he, Jesus, himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. Even though he's the Son of God, even though the Spirit is upon him, Jesus had a concerted, consistent prayer life. He didn't just say, well, I'm the Son of God, so I can do this. No, you realize when he was the Son of God, he set aside his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and he says, I am going to be dependent on the Holy Spirit to empower me to live life the way God wants my body to live someday, my disciples, those who follow me. Jesus was a man of much prayer. And if we're going to live under an open heaven, we need to be people of persistent, passionate prayer. I can't emphasize that enough. Jesus went often. It wasn't hit and miss. Well, I feel like it today, so I'll pray. Or it wasn't the flip side where, man, life is so bad. God, help. Heaven 911, bail me out. No, Jesus went often. He frequently prayed. It wasn't just in an emergency or when he felt like it. And he withdrew. So he got away from all the distractions. He would go to solitary places where he was alone. So it could just be him and God. So he could talk to God freely, and no one's going to interrupt him, and he's going to just commune with the Father. And I'd encourage you, I don't know what your prayer life is like. Maybe some of you, your prayer life has deteriorated over the holidays or over 2020 because you were just discouraged. It seemed like one thing after another hit, and you're not seeing God move in your life, so why even try? The devil wants us to give up on praying. I believe it was Oswald Chambers that said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. Your muscles, no matter how big they are, it's your nerves that make them move. Prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. We need to be people of persistent, passionate, concerted, consistent prayer. How is your prayer life? Are you engaging God? And here's the great thing. If your prayer life isn't where it needs to be, 2021, as we're doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting, now is a great time to recalibrate spiritually, to reprioritize prayer, and not just to do it for the next 21 days, but to do it as a regular routine of your life. Because I don't want to just live under an open heaven for a short season. We need an open heaven until Jesus comes again. So those are the first two things. What's the first thing? We need a revelation, a spiritual vision, because an open heaven is based on what we see. Secondly, to live under an open heaven, we need a concerted, consistent prayer life. All right, let's take a look at number three this morning. An open heaven requires a sensitivity to the Spirit. It requires a sensitivity to the Spirit. In John chapter 1, verse 32, it says, John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a, what's the word? Dove. And he remained upon him. When God wants to use something to represent the Holy Spirit, he didn't use a hawk or an eagle, this majestic, strong, powerful bird coming down. He uses a dove. And doves are easily frightened. Doves are skittish. And I believe that's just kind of a sign to us how we need to be very careful. We need to be sober about how we live our life. Not that the Holy Spirit is scared, but it is easy for us to fall out from the Spirit's communion. Now, I'm not saying we lose the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not saying that. But Paul talks about we need to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. There is a relationship, a closeness. Paul talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He talks about the communion of the Holy Spirit. There is a relationship where we're walking in the Spirit. We're abiding in the Spirit of Jesus. There's this sense of closeness and intimacy with the Holy Spirit that we can enjoy, but we can also grieve the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. How do we grieve the Spirit? We can grieve the Spirit by how we talk, by being harsh, by being impatient, by getting angry. We can grieve the Spirit, I believe, when we look at people with indifference instead of discernment. You know, there's sometimes people come to us and we might see them as being a bother. Jesus never saw any person as a bother or as an interruption into his schedule. Never. And he was interrupted a lot, but he was always open to what is the Holy Spirit doing this moment. The Holy Spirit has brought this person to me. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And we can sometimes have our own agenda, our own to-do list of what we need to accomplish, and we walk through the day and we're not aware of what the Holy Spirit wants us to accomplish. Jesus was never about, I got to go here or there and fulfill this appointment, that appointment. There was things he wanted to do, but he never let his agenda supersede the agenda the Spirit brought across his path. And when we look at people with indifference, as with disgust, with disappointment, instead of with discernment, what is God wanting me to do right now? We lose that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And we need to be careful that as we race into 2021, we're not so busy, so frantic, so hurried that we're not communing in the Spirit and sensitive to what he wants to do. I was at a pastor's meeting back in November with a bunch of different ministers, and John Lindell, pastor of James River, was there, and he actually gave a brief devotional on living under an open heaven, and a lot of these points today come from that devotional. And John said to us as pastors, he said, a danger for us all is our day can look like a corporate CEO. We can substitute a Spirit-anointed pulpit ministry for an open heaven personal ministry. I'm going to say that again. We can substitute a Spirit-anointed pulpit ministry for an open heaven personal ministry. And friends, I believe that remark can apply to all of us, not just pastors, but we can get so caught up in what we are doing today, building our empire, we're not concerned about building the kingdom of Jesus. We need to be people that as we get up in our prayer life in the morning saying, God, this is your day. I'm giving it to you. Help me to be open and aware to the people you want to bring across my path. Give me words for people. Maybe prompt me to call or whatever you want me to do. God, help me to live under an open heaven. Speak to me. Help me to be sensitive to what's going on. You're in Walmart. Someone is sick. Maybe you pray for them right then and there. Or maybe you're at work and you hear someone sick. You pray for them and God heals them. We need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do so that we can live under an open heaven. In Psalm 62 or 67, verse 2, it says, that your way may be known on the earth. That's talking about an open heaven. Your salvation among the nations. This morning we had a message in tongues, an interpretation about committing ourselves to a new challenge, a challenge to take the gospel. Friends, how much are we praying and looking for opportunities to share the gospel with the lost? That's part of living under an open heaven, being ready to witness, to bring the gospel that Jesus loves you, he died for you, we need to repent of our sin. The last thing I want to talk about this morning about living under an open heaven, number 4, is an open heaven requires rejoicing, doing right, and remembering God. Rejoicing, doing right, and remembering God. In Isaiah 64, verse 1, it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens." That word rend means to tear open. God, that you would tear open the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. Bible scholars believe the mountains here referred to when God appeared to Israel on Sinai. He revealed himself. He revealed the law, and the mountain shook. Verse 2, "As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." They believe that this is God making himself known to Israel's enemies, first to Egypt when they were slaves, and then later in the Promised Land when God says, "I need you to fight these pagan people," and God revealed to them. And you may remember when the spies were at Rahab's house, she says, "Man, we're about fainting. We are so worried about, because we've heard what God has done for you, how he parted the Red Sea, the miracles done as God for you." Friends, God can do the impossible. He wants to open heaven. I love verse 3. "When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down." How many want to see God do some awesome things that you're not looking for, that you're not expecting, that just pop up out of the blue? And it's like, wow, look what God did. That happened under an open heaven. And it says, verse 4, "Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him." God acts for those who wait for him. Are you waiting on him in prayer? Are you waiting on him in communing with him and enjoying him? And then in verse 5, this is where we get the rejoicing, the right, and the remembering. It says, "You meet with him who rejoices, who does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways." William Vine, in his commentary on Isaiah, says, "It is possible to walk in righteousness, in strict adherence to religion, without delighting ourselves in the Lord." The enjoyment of the secret of his presence is the key to the manifestation of his power in effective service for him. Are you joyfully serving God? Or has Christianity become a drudgery? Have you lost your passion and the excitement to go to God's house or to be in his presence, to be with him? Friends, God hasn't changed. The Bible says there's fullness of joy in his presence. If we're not having joy in serving Jesus, we need God to change our hearts. We need him, ask him to forgive us and to change us so that we rejoice in him. We need to be people who aren't Eeyores. One of my favorite things when our kids were little, that what we watched Winnie the Pooh, our oldest watched Winnie the Pooh, and Eeyore would go around, you know, "How are you doing, Eeyore?" "Not very well. It's a bad day. And if something bad hasn't happened, something will." You know, that was just Eeyore. That's like grumbling, complaining, negative, pessimistic. Friends, that's not rejoicing. I don't think you're going to see God do unexpected, great, possible things if you're walking around grumbling and complaining. Israel didn't. They missed out on the Promised Land. They missed out on the victory because they weren't people of joy. We need to be people of joy. Yesterday in men's breakfast, twice, it was said, "Count it all joy when you go through various trials." And God just spoke to me, "Craig, this year, count everything joy." I'm going, "Okay, yeah, I don't do too well at that, do I?" We need to be a rejoicing people, rejoicing at all times, because we're rejoicing in the Lord, not in our circumstance. So rejoicing is a key to being in an open heaven. Also, it's doing right. The last verse there says, they do righteousness. Friends, if we're living in sin, now I'm not saying we have to be perfect, because we're all going to make mistakes, but if we are walking in deliberate disobedience to God, we're not going to live under an open heaven. See, the Spirit has a first name. What's the first name of the Spirit? Holy. So if you want to be anointed and empowered with the Holy Spirit, we need to be holy. We need to reject sin and be people of holiness, people of obedience, people of purity. Then he says, remembering you, people who remember you in your ways. William Vine also says on this passage, it's possible to do what is morally right and virtuous without actually having God himself in remembrance. I know people who are Christians are good moral people. They go through the day. They're kind. They're nice. They don't hurt anyone. But they're really not remembering God. They're not saying, God, I'm your child. What do you want me to do? Help me to walk in this. We need to remember Jesus. I received a text from Diana Davis. Many of you may remember Jim and Diana. They were longtime members here before they retired in sunny Florida. But her brother-in-law, Ron, has a gift of discernment. And Ron says that each year in December, God has dropped something into my heart concerning the coming year. For 2021, the Lord has put in my heart that we, the church, will really need to, and this is all caps, persevere. We need to persevere in 2021. Read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Write those down. Read them this day, okay? Revelation 2, 1 to 7. Upcoming events will cause us to have to be more determined to live the life of faith and be faithful in our commitment to the Lord. I don't know about you, but you think 2020 was bad. That doesn't sound like 2021 is going to be, woo, does it? He says, casual Christianity will not hold up under the pressures that are coming in the future. While things will be challenging, His grace will be sufficient. God will give supernatural strength. In my words, He'll open heaven. He'll give supernatural strength to those who are serious about their relationship with the Lord, praying for God's people to remain steady and strong. Friends, we need to remember God. This is not the time to be casual Christians. We need to be committed and focused more now than ever. We need to live under an open heaven. And some of you might say, that sounds kind of spooky. That sounds kind of weird. Friends, it's not. My family is here today because our neighbor lady lived under an open heaven. What did that mean? It meant she invited my mom to church. And she kept inviting, and she kept witnessing, she kept sharing. Finally, Mom went, and Mom went quite a while, and they had three-hour-long services, and my dad finally says, that's enough, because the church was 30 miles away. Mom would be gone from like 6 o'clock to midnight because they went out for coffee afterwards. And he says, that's enough, you're not going. But you see, I had allergies as a kid, really bad allergies, and so even though Mom wasn't going to church, our neighbor lady, Barb, she still kept the relationship going, still kept talking. We'd been to allergy specialists, and the doctor said, there's nothing that we can do. They didn't have those kind of medicines 40-some years ago. They said, you're going to have to learn to live with it. And Mom was talking to Barb about how bad my allergies were, and Barb says, well, we'll pray for Craig. So that night, 30 miles away, the church prayed. I'm at home doing a report on rattlesnakes while I'm watching TV. Really, I was watching TV doing a report during the commercials. And about 10 after 8, there was like a voice in my head that said, look up at the clock. I looked up at the clock. It was 10 after 8, and I stopped coughing. You see, with these allergies, I had nasal congestion. It ran down the back of my throat. I would cough 2, 3, 4 times every minute. My nose was so red from blowing my nose, it would bleed, and I had to have a cortisporin. It was at that time, we got Neosporin now. It was a prescription back then before it became generic. I need a prescription for my nose so my nose would heal. And in one night, when a church prayed, God opened heaven. He touched an 8-year-old kid, and he was healed. And a month later, when the healing stuck, Mom wanted to make sure it stuck, she became a Christian. And a month later, my dad said, I'm going to become a Christian. He said, actually, you can start going back to the church. If they healed my son, yeah, you can go. And then I got saved a month later, and then my sister. Friends, my family is here today because one lady lived under an open heaven. And it wasn't spooky, it wasn't weird. She just built relationship. She just shared. She just invited. She just prayed when she saw a need. That's all we have to do. It's not rocket science. Live under an open heaven. Because it could change someone's life. I'd hate to think where I would be today if I didn't have Jesus. I know I wouldn't be married to this beautiful lady. I'd probably be married two or three times by now. Probably addicted to something, at least a workaholic. My life would be a mess. Live under an open heaven and change a life. Change a family. Change a city. Change a nation. Let's change the world. Are you ready to change the world? Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would help us to be more committed to you. Forgive us for being casual Christians. God, help us to move out and to move into your Spirit, to be empowered by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would use us this year, that this year would be the greatest year our church and we as individuals have ever seen for the activity of God in our lives. This morning, I want to first talk to those of you who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, all right? How many of you, as we've talked about living under an open heaven, you'd say, I realize in my life there's things that are lacking. Maybe it's the consistent, concerted prayer life. Maybe it's that you're not being sensitive to the Spirit. Maybe it's the way you talk. Maybe you're not rejoicing. Maybe you've been a casual Christian. Maybe you don't have a vision for your life. Whatever it is, but you'd say, this morning I need to do some things to live under an open heaven. If that's you, just lift your hand. There's some of you may say, maybe you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want that empowerment. I want you to raise your hand for that this morning. You can put your hands down. Many of you raised your hands. Some of you here today, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe that's you watching us online today. You're not a follower of Jesus. And you realize that you need to be forgiven of your sin. You don't have a relationship with God. I know before I became a Christian, even though we went to church regularly, God seemed distant, God seemed far away. That's because my sin separated me from God. I needed to confess I was a sinner and confess that I needed to follow Jesus, make him the Lord, the leader, the king of my life. And that started a relationship. And if you're here this morning or you're watching online, you'd say, I need to become a Christian. I've sinned, or maybe you've fallen away. You're not walking with God. You're not right with God this morning, and you need to make a recommitment. I'd like you to raise your hand today. You need to make a recommitment to Christ, or you need to become a Christian. Just lift your hand up this morning. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else today? Anyone else this morning? I'm going to say this prayer. I'm going to ask God to help us to live under an open heaven and help us to re-engage him in relationship. And whatever part of this prayer applies to you, whether you're here or online, I want you to take that and relate it to your life. Pray with me this morning. Dear Jesus, show me who I am. Show me who you are. Show me the Father and your plan for my life. Help me live under an open heaven. Change what needs changing. Remove what is wrong. Forgive me for my sin. Add to my life what I need to add. I will pray fervently. I will be sensitive. Give me your power. I choose joy. I give myself completely, entirely, totally to you. Help me to see you. Help me to be strong. Help me to persist in this new year and to bring life to those around me. Lord God, I come to you right now. I pray. I want you to stand on your feet. I want you to raise your hands towards heaven. Jesus, I pray right now that we would just commit ourselves to whatever it is God spoke to you, that you need to change this year to live under an open heaven. I want you to begin to talk to him about it right now. God, forgive us if we've been lazy in prayer. Forgive us if we've been living in sin. Forgive us for being negative and grumbling and complaining. Forgive us for being too busy. For God, for having our own agenda. Forgive us for being angry and impatient, for not counting it all joy when we go through problems. Lord, I pray today you would make us your body, that we would be the body, that we would be the people you want us to be, that we would see our identity. God, open our eyes to who you are. We magnify you today, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're pouring out your Spirit. You're baptizing us. God, you're refilling us. God, help us to move. Help us to see your glory. Give us the breakthrough today. Open up the heavens, oh God. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates, God. Let a mighty river of your Spirit flow out of our hearts, God, out of our rivers of living water, God, that go to every corner of our city, God, into every area of our life. Use us, Jesus. Use us, Jesus, for your glory and your honor. Amen. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.